Yeah, but stories reflecting today.
Yeah, but stories reflecting today.
Ladies Won't Wait by Peter Cheney. First published by William Collins, London, England, in 1951, also known as Cocktails and the Killer. Audiobook production, copyright 2022 by Jabbett AB, Stockholm, Sweden. Music by David Render. Read by Austin Van Vliet. Chapter 1. Janie. Even today, I don't know very much about her, which is a pity. I suppose if I knew her story, I shouldn't spend so much time wondering about it. Somebody or other said that unsatisfied curiosity fed upon itself, and there's nothing that can supply food for thought like a mysterious woman who appears from nowhere, mixes herself up in one's life for a little while, and then goes out of it. Especially if she happens to be beautiful. In my own rather odd profession, one is inclined to speculate a great deal about women, in terms of their peculiar effect upon people. And I say peculiar because no two men are affected in exactly the same way by women. If they were, life would be a great deal easier. I suppose, really, Theodora Saint-Philippe must have been some sort of desperate idealist. She must have been, even if her ideals were a bit cockeyed. Besides beauty, and that indefinable attraction which all women want to possess, and so few do, she must have had brains and intelligence and a hell of a lot of guts. I ought to have known from the first time I saw her that she was rather a special sort of person. I ought to have known. If I didn't, it was because I was much too busy looking at her and wondering just who and what she was. When and how she had acquired that strange quality of allure, that extraordinary grace. Anyhow, she had it, and that's that. And in my profession, it doesn't do too much good to spend your off times in wondering about women who've had it, especially those who've won it in the same way as you might easily win it yourself, one of these days. I came away from the Pré Catalan about 5 o'clock. I drove into the Champs-Élysées, turned off, and parked the car in the Rue Royale not far from Maxim's. I had a drink in Maxim's. I didn't want it, but I had it. It was so hot you could hardly breathe. July, if it is hot, is not the sort of month you'd pick to be in Paris. When I came out, I began to walk down the Rue Royale, and she was about 10 paces in front of me. I tell you, she was something. And because I was undecided in my mind, and wasn't quite certain at that particular moment, I had just a few minutes to spare before my appointment with Ollie, as to where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do, I just trailed along behind her, admiring the way she put her feet on the ground, and that just too elegant sway with which she walked. I thought she was marvellous. She turned into the Rue de Faubourg Saint-Honoré, and I went round the corner after I jerked my mind back to realities and thought it was about time I went home. I suppose I forgot about Ollie for the time being, which was strange because I'd had Ollie in the back of my head for the last 2 hours. If it hadn't been for my goddamn sex curiosity, maybe I'd have been back minutes before. Anyway, I started to walk, thinking about the woman. I crossed the Faubourg, turned into the side street. Then, a few minutes afterward, I saw it. A beret of a particular shade of blue lying in the gutter, looking just as if it had been run over, which, funnily enough, it had been, and with the oil stain on the side. I thought, that's Ollie's beret. I didn't like it. I went round the corner, and there was the flick with his notebook out, and two or three people talking to him all at once, talking rapidly and rather vehemently, which was quite unnecessary.